Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
He's Ethan Sands, and he joins us now. Ethan, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing? Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're feeling good, I'm sure, as are you, regarding the Cavs' performance on an Easter Sunday. It felt like it was fairly dominant. Now, I was always of the belief, Ethan, that they were sort of coasting down the back half of the year, and they would be able to sort of flip the switch and go back to maybe not in one game the way they were playing for the first 4 months of the season, but definitely back closer to it. Did game one immediately answer those questions that they can do it, or do they have to prolong it over a multiple game stretch?
It's a little bit of both, right? Obviously, you want to continue to see that level of success for the first three quarters, four quarters, whatever you want to call it. And I think they have to play a 48-minute game. But the importance of it is everybody keeps talking about this flipping a switch in the playoffs, right? This is the Cavs team that we've seen all year. There wasn't a flip of any switch. It was just them getting back to who they were. Kenny Atkinson not playing around with rotations, not playing around with guys' minutes, allowing the guys that are supposed to be on the floor to get those necessary minutes. There were multiple times throughout the regular season when, in those situations, Ty Jerome doesn't finish that game, right? So now we got to see Ty Jerome in his full form, getting the entire fourth quarter minutes outside of the 1:30 where they put the bench in the rotation. So I just think this is the team that we've seen all season, and I don't think anybody should be surprised by their performance in game one.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely dominant. Was there anything from the game, maybe aside from the result itself, that surprised you either on the Cleveland side or the Miami side?
I think it was more so just how bad the Miami Heat offense was, right? Because this is a Miami Heat offense that played and shot a little bit over their heads, right? So if you're telling me that that's the best version or likely the best version of the offense that they're going to be able to put out throughout this series, I don't think they're going to be able to match the Cleveland Cavaliers offense, especially when you tell me that that offense was only able to score 100 points in a game where they had some of their best scoring. Sure, there might be a contest where Bam Adebayo does what he does or Tyler Hero goes off, but the surrounding characters, they do not have enough to match up with the firepower of the length of the Cavs offense.
Darius Garland is obviously a major contributor throughout the entirety of the beginning of the season there and the entirety of the season as a whole. But I would say there is local pressure on him, most definitely given the way that he performed last year in the playoffs, given the fact that he needed to be one of the best players in these playoffs. Is it fair to say that he answered a lot of the questions just within one game with the performance that he put out last night against what at times was a strong defensive guards? I mean, he was guarded at times by Tyler Hero, guarded by Davion Mitchell, and then obviously the lessers of guys like Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, I think that just set the tone, right? And Darius Garland has to continue to play at that level. Kenny Atkinson said after the game that that version of Darius Garland makes this Cleveland Cavaliers team nearly unbeatable. It's the maturity, it's the tone, it's the scoring. It's also the defensive pressure that he was putting out throughout the game and not allowing Bam Adebayo or Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson to get whatever they wanted on the offensive end. That is the biggest portion of Darius Garland's growth this year, is because he is a guy that everybody knows they're going to attack on each play down the floor. So him being able to wall up was huge for them. I think it's just a tone setter. It's the beginning of what Darius Garland has to do to rewrite the narrative of himself for a playoff performer.
If we're looking at this series right now following a game one, and you took your best estimate on it, how many games does a round one series against the Heat last?
I think this is definitely a five-game series. I think there's obviously an opportunity for the Cavs to get a sweep. But when they go to Miami, there's the historical background of that. There's all of these things that have to go into it, especially when you talk about that game three when it's earlier on in the day and having that quick turnaround. I think that's the only time where the Miami Heat have a chance to get taken advantage over the Cavs. So they would have to just take advantage of the situation rather than the game itself.
Is the team itself, Ethan, or the fan base, should they be looking back at a series last year against Orlando and thinking about how it was two double-digit wins against Orlando while you were playing in Cleveland, and then you flip-flop, and all of a sudden that series is entirely different when you change locations and you go back, and then Orlando gives you a little bit of a run on the opposite side of things?
There's definitely an element of that, but I don't think Cavs fans should be that worried because of the Cavs' ability to perform on the road throughout the regular season, right? 30 wins on the road this regular season, the most in Cavs franchise history. I think it's important to keep these things in mind in the Cavs, and you can hear it when you're in Rocket Arena. They are trying to tell you that this season is different. They're saying the past is gone. All these songs that are playing throughout the game and during media timeouts, all these things, they are trying to tell the fans that this season is different, and they're also trying to show them that on the court with each performance.
Ethan Sands, Cleveland.com, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. As we look at Darius Garland, I would say it's probably fair to point out, I mean, it may be in a balance with Ty Jerome having an incredible night last night, but he was probably the second best player on the floor behind Donovan, and I think you might be able to even argue first best. Is that something that if it continues to play out that way, where Darius is your second best player, is that still a formula that can have you winning in the playoffs and winning against, say, a team like Boston?
100%, because that's what the goal is, right? Obviously, Evan Mobley has to play to his standard as well, but when you have three guys in Donovan, Darius, and Ty score 85 points combined, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen's jobs become much more focused on stopping Bam Adebayo, their defensive effort, their rebounding, right? So if you can get that kind of performance from Darius Garland against Boston, even if they try and take away Donovan Mitchell, who is a playoff performer at his own right, but he also has a great record against Boston when it comes to scoring. If Darius Garland can up his performance, this is looking way down the line. But this is the level of Darius Garland that they need to be able to surpass Boston and get to the NBA Finals after facing them in the Eastern Conference Finals, if that's how it all pans out.
If we're looking at the way that the Cavs handled the rotations last night, they essentially ran 9, sort of 10 deep, getting Dean Wade involved, but not nearly the massive minutes that the other four guys off the bench were. And then obviously the last minute and a half, it went off the rails. You entered four guys who hadn't played all night. But if we look at the majority of that, is that what we should expect from this team as the playoff continues? Or is this more of a first-round specialty, and then you expect these rotations to be tightened up as the playoffs extend and go on?
Kenny Atkinson has been adamant about starting each series with a 10-man rotation. I think last night was an indication of what kind of minutes those 9th and 10th rotation-level players are going to get. They're going to be defensive specialists, Isaac Okoro, Dean Wade, and it's based on series, right? Say you play Indiana in the second round, Isaac Okoro is going to get more minutes to match up with.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right, the ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Tyrese Haliburton. If you play Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe Dean Wade gets more minutes to match up with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, right? So it's matchup dependent. But I think Kenny Atkinson is going to keep that 10-man rotation so everybody is fresh, everybody is ready. And you look across and you look at the minutes, and this is a time of year where you expect guys to be playing 40 minutes plus. That wasn't the case, and that's exactly how Kenny Atkinson wants to be when it comes to the first round, especially because you keep guys fresh, you keep them healthy, and then they're ready to go for the next couple of series. It's planned out for the entire run that the Cavs want to go on. They just have to execute it.
Now, we always talk about how with the Heat, obviously with Eric Spoelstra, it's a team that not only can spark you in game one that obviously didn't happen, but Spoelstra is always going to be a guy looking to make adjustments, and you have two days coming up off before you get to game two on Wednesday, and then another 2 days off before you get to game three coming up on Saturday. Is this something, again, where you look at the Heat and there's a ton of adjustments to be made, or is it more just the Cavs are so much more talented than the Heat are that there's really not a ton of adjustments that Spoelstra can make to change the series?
Well, give Eric Spoelstra a little bit of credit, right? He's probably one of, if not the best coach in the NBA right now. And the understanding is they played their third game in 5 nights after playing game one. So they didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare for the Cavs. So now he gets a little bit more time of preparation before Wednesday's matchup, excuse me. And I think that'll give him more areas to look at and try and pick at. But there's not a whole lot of cracked glass for the Cavs, right? They saw a little bit of a rebounding deficiency from Evan Mobley in the first half. He had 0 rebounds. Then he came and had 7 rebounds in the second half. So I think the Cavs are also making adjustments that are cornered and garnered towards what Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat are trying to take advantage of. So to answer your question, no, I don't think there's a whole lot where Eric Spoelstra can make a difference, but he is going to make it as hard as possible on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Ethan, were you surprised looking at the way that Tyler Herro started out really hot and is clearly, I think you can pretty much say hands down at this point, the best player that the Heat have, obviously Bam in that conversation. But were you surprised to see how hot he started, then to essentially be taken away from the game through the late in the second quarter, all the way throughout the third quarter, and basically be a non-factor within that time?
Not at all, right? That's Kenny Atkinson at work. That's the adjustments of the Cleveland Cavaliers knowing that their third quarter performance has been their Achilles heel all year. So they ramped it up coming out of halftime to send a message, to set a tone for themselves. Because if you know what your weak points are, you're able to address them at a bigger portion. Obviously, Tyler Herro is at the top of their scouting report for each game this series because he's the one that they got to take away. So I don't think it's as surprising as when they went into the halftime that Kenny Atkinson probably had some conversations with his guys, the assistant coaches, talking with their players and trying to figure out where he has been least effective and making him get into those tough shots. There were times where Tyler Herro was hitting shots and they were just ridiculous makes, right? So sometimes it's just the law of averages that happens when you're playing against such a stout defense. They were top 10 in defense throughout the season, top 10 in offense as well, obviously the top-ranked offense in the league. So I think this is no surprise when it comes to the success of guarding somebody like Tyler Herro, especially when he does not have as many players around him that the Cavs have to scheme for.
Again, Ethan Sands, Cleveland.com, with us on the hotline. We talk about this team so much from top to bottom. We talk Donovan, Evan, Darius, Jarrett. They sort of the shoulder, the chip that they can carry on their shoulder. A guy that doesn't get talked about a ton within that conversation is Ty Jerome. Do you feel like that's almost an oversight and that he carries a chip of his own after basically being out of all last year and not being able to make an impact?
I think Ty Jerome might be the one player that doesn't have a chip on his shoulder, right? This is just him. He's a hooper. That's how everybody that I talked to last night described him as, right? This is just how he came in. Even after playing 2 games and being sidelined for the entire playoff run last year and just 2 games being played in the regular season, he came into voluntary workouts before training camp, it was talking so much smack to the rest of the Cavs team that some of the players were taken aback and had to be like, hold on, slow down, because we still are going to run this team, but we love what you're doing because it's going to push us to be better. Ty Jerome has been waiting to play in games like this his entire life. He won a national championship with Virginia. He has a pedigree that shows him that he can be a performer in big games. So I don't think it's a surprise. I don't think this is something that is out of the ordinary. I don't think he's going to have 28 points per game in his playoff career. But I think it's important that Ty Jerome continues to steady the offense and then give them a scoring surge when they need it.
We've talked so much time after time about the addition of DeAndre Hunter and the impact that he is going to make and the impact that he is going to have on this team. Now, obviously, wasn't his best night, doesn't put in a bucket. Comes out, I think, is the only Cav who played any major minutes, is a plus-minus on the score sheet. Is that just, a bad night out of DeAndre Hunter, and within this series you're going to see it better? Is it a bad series matchup or something that truthfully needs to be fixed?
I think you just got to give him some time, right? He's still acclimating to the team. He was a mid-season trade. Obviously, we know that the Cavs went 12-0 in his first couple of games with the team. So I think you just have to understand that there's still things that Kenny Atkinson and DeAndre Hunter are learning and figuring out. And obviously, throughout the remainder of the regular season since the trade, he was basically playing in his own little world. Now he's trying to fit into the offense and the principles after a week-long of practices and trying to find his spaces. But I think that was a little bit of overdoing that in game one. Now I hope he gets to be able to show himself as he was in the regular season and just play his game while fitting into the offense rather than thinking too much. That's what I think it comes down to in game one. DeAndre Hunter just thinking too much. I don't know how he missed that layup at the end of the third quarter, I believe it was. That might have been a mistake, but I think everything else, you got to just give him some time and give him an opportunity because, again, he was alongside Ty Jerome on that Virginia National Championship, so he has that pedigree as well. It's just about applying it.
All right, Ethan, I'll get you out of here at this one. As we talk about, the Cavs essentially should be dominant throughout this series, at least the way that it looks in the end when you talk about how many games the Heat actually take. Is this the type of series that the Cavs needed in the first round? Almost a confidence, get me up, and then going throughout the rest of the playoffs?
I think the Miami Heat are the perfect team, one, because there's a level of appropriate fear and respect of the Miami Heat because of their historical background, because they're the only 8 seed to ever make it to the NBA Finals, because they're the only number 10 seed to make it out of the play-in tournament. So there's all this respect built up about the Miami Heat. So it's not like, oh, we have this team that we're just so much better at than we can coast by. It's they know that they have to play 48 minutes. So you're going to get the best out of each player. And the series is to the point where we know that the Cavs are more talented, so it'll still be a short series where we talk about this matchup. It's a best-of-both-worlds situation.
All right, Ethan, I appreciate you, as always, setting aside the time. Hopefully, we're talking here throughout a long Cavs playoff run, in which involves a lot more winning than it does losing.
Thank you for having me on. Have a great rest of your night.
You too. Appreciate you, Ethan. Again, Ethan Sands with us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.